to thank my co-authors here, Dr. Philip Roberts, for helping the field with the logistics and day-to-day of what I did, and for moral support, for Glenn Ritchie and his crew for box picking this data, and for Andy Knowlton, who's in the room, who's the UGA cotton microgen manager. I really wanted to focus on the issue of fiber length uniformity, and some of that's been stated as to the reason. The last several years, there have been some criticism of Georgia cotton, particularly on the issue of fiber length uniformity. Probably the most notorious was at the EFS conference in 2004, the world's most famous cotton merchant had a 14-minute speech, and at minute 12, he said, "Now we need to talk about the Georgia problem." And he dropped a bomb on us. Of course, there were some concerns we would see discrimination for Georgia cotton based on the uniformity issue. And so that really drives what I've done, and we've even had meetings at the EFS conference say, we discussed the Georgia problem. So, again, my focus was on fiber length uniformity primarily. We've already heard discussions about variation of fiber length within the canopy, within fruiting position, within the bowl and lock and so forth, and even on the seed. I think we have to realize we're not manufacturing screws. This is biology. We have inherent variability at many, many places, not to even mention or not even include environmental issues. So a lot of challenges here with this issue of fiber length and fiber length uniformity. Last year at this meeting, I presented the results. I thought I had a great idea, and turned out maybe it wasn't so good. And then I thought about it last night. I said, no, maybe it was. But this was our paper last year where what we ultimately did, we tried to tackle the question, is the issue of fiber length uniformity genetics, or is it bloom or fruiting duration? And what we did, we took cultivars of two extremes, the most indeterminate and among the most determinate that might be grown in our environment. And then what it attempted to do was, with mepaquat chloride, tried to compress that fruiting season with a very aggressive program, or on the other hand, tried to do very little with mepaquat chloride to get aggressive growth. So I label those aggressive mepaquat or aggressive growth. Unfortunately, in the middle of this study, maybe the second week or so, boom, the irrigation system went down, and so some of my attempts at changing or affecting bloom duration did not work. These are nodes above white flower counts, and you see they all came together. I had expected to see some separation based on my mepaquat regime, and did not achieve it. And again, it was probably hurt somewhat by some limitation of irrigation at the peak or maybe the second or third week of bloom. These are the yield numbers as well as the fiber quality numbers, and we see very little differences within variety. But in fact, we do see significant differences by variety, particularly if you focus on the issue of uniformity, 555 being lower than 444. And so in some respects, while I was disappointed I didn't achieve didn't change bloom duration, I did demonstrate what we already know. And if you've ever been to a Delta Pine presentation, they have reams and piles of data, and they show differences here. We saw exactly what they have shown. 444 is going to have higher uniformity than 555. Moving to this year, I thought, hey, I got a better idea. And really wanted to hone in on this issue of fruiting or bloom duration and its potential impact on fiber length and fiber length uniformity. And basically, we came to affectionately know this study as the PLUC study. And we had three mepaquat regimes where we tried to, again, somewhat affect growth and the bloom period, none, slight to moderate, and then a very aggressive program. And then we had, after 4 weeks of bloom, on an almost not daily basis, but at least every other day initially, we came in and I came in and had some help and physically removed white blooms. In essence, what I tried to do here was artificially compress that fruiting period to 4 weeks. Particulars, we planted 555, again, a very indeterminate variety, noted for problems or challenges with fiber length uniformity. We planted it, actually the date was April 30th, we harvested in September. It was an irrigated high yield environment in which we expected to make 3-bale cotton. The main plots were the mepaquat regime, and the subplots were flower removal, yes or no. We measured or marked first bloom about the first week or second, the second day of July, and then we began implementing our plucking on July 30th and really maintained that to defoliation. I thought I could probably do this once or twice a week. As I got to the first week, I said, if you waited past a day or two, you were overwhelmed. So basically the first first 3 or 4 weeks of this, I plucked it 3 to 4 times a week. And so it required that to keep up. Some of the things we measured, nodes above white flower. We also, Glenn's crew did box picking, thank you. And we divided those, the measurements there into zones, nodes 11 and lower, nodes 12 through 17, and then above that. And we looked at, and Glenn managed the data and looked at percent retention and boll weight. For some reason, I cannot remember why I'm not going to present percent retention, but I'm going to talk a little bit about boll weight. And of course, we took lint yield or seed cotton yields. These were processed in the UGA cotton microgen, and then we went to send our samples to the classing office in Macon for HVI analysis. In terms of plant height, we got what we expected. The untreated was much more aggressive than the others, but we did see slight separation between the aggressive Mepaquat program and the slight to moderate one. Interestingly, when we began to pluck, I thought we would almost immediately begin to see differences in height. We did not. However, we got some rain about Labor Day right in here, and as we approached harvest, which was right here, we did see some growth differences. So, in fact, right after harvest, I went in and measured height. But I expected to see some differences in height along there. They did not occur. If we look at our nodes above white flower counts, we did achieve some separation between the untreated, but the two Mepaquat regimes were essentially on top of each other. In terms of individual boll weight, a slight difference here with the aggressive program. This is the blue bar is where we allowed natural progression of fruiting. The yellow is where we plucked, or removed the flower. So you see a slight difference there in the nodes 11 and below. At the second zone, no significant effect, and no differences in boll weight. And in the third zone, node 18 and above, there were so few bowls and so erratic numbers, we really didn't want to present those numbers. There was just nothing to pull out from that. In terms of lint turnout, this is somewhat interesting to me. We saw a higher lint turnout with the untreated control, intermediate with the moderate Mepaquat program, and then the least with the aggressive Mepaquat program. In terms of lint yield, the main effect of Mepaquat program, we did not see any significant differences. The difference here is about 65 pounds between these two. In terms of flower removed or not, we did see a significant difference there. This is about, I believe, 102 pounds, which is a little surprising. It wasn't more than that, but again, a significant effect there. Again, the whole purpose here, we weren't overly interested in yield, but we were interested in fiber length uniformity. So we're getting to that in terms of fiber length, or this is upper half mean length or staple. The untreated was lower than the aggressive Mepaquat program. Flower removal had no significant effect on fiber length in this study. Again, all this to get to that point of fiber length uniformity. In terms of the Mepaquat programs, there was no significant difference. And what we suggest, this is probably a difference, I believe, of about 0.4. And that in the real world, that would be significant and very important to a producer. But what this suggests is that we probably had a lot of variation in our numbers. And disappointingly, on the right, we did not see a significant effect in uniformity when we plucked or where we did not. Again, just to summarize the data, plant height, we did see some differences, slight differences between our Mepaquat regimes, and of course large differences between the untreated. In terms of nodes above white flower, essentially no differences between our Mepaquat programs. We had higher of course, higher numbers with the untreated control versus those the Mepiquot regimes. Bowel weight, we did see some slight differences, but nothing startling there in terms of differences within the canopy. Lead percentage, the number of the untreated control was higher than the moderate Mepiquot program, which was also higher than the very aggressive program. Yield was not influenced by the Mepiquot regimes. We did see a significant advantage of not removing the flowers, or again, keep in mind our removal period was 4 weeks. And all that we were trying to do was get to this issue of fiber length uniformity. In terms of length, we did see a little bit of the Mepiquot program, aggressive Mepiquot program versus the untreated, but flower removal had no effect on fiber length. And then the all-important number was not significant. Mepiquot regime and flower removal had no effect on fiber length uniformity. And I guess Einstein apparently had 1,000 or so many thousands of tries to get to the light bulb, and I thought, you know, this was all this work and really didn't do what I had hoped we'd see. And yet, I got to thinking about it last night. Perhaps this suggests, and I'm not a high-powered physiology like my predecessors that just talked on the program, but this suggests that maybe there is something, that it is not necessarily fruiting duration. 555 might fruit over eight weeks in our environment. Maybe it's not so much that, is it? Maybe there's something inherent about 555. So maybe it is, in fact, there's some genetic, a strong genetic link. But in this study, the artificial limitation of fruiting duration had no effect on fiber length uniformity. Questions?
We have a couple of minutes for questions if you've got any. Proceed.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.